A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much. Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. Emma Straub is the author of This Time Tomorrow. She is the New York Times bestselling author of All Adult Year, The Vacationers, Modern Lovers, and Laura Lamont's Life in Pictures, and the short story collection Other People We Married. Her books have been published in 20 countries. She and her husband own Books Are Magic, an independent bookstore in Brooklyn, New York. Welcome, Emma. Thank you so much for coming back on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books, this time to discuss This Time Tomorrow. That was a lot of this times.
And this time, this time, this time.
Yeah.
Hi, Zibby. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Okay. I was just raving about your cover and it is so cool. I had the galley. It's like there's this gold line sort of swirling through it. And then even the letters, some of them are like silvery, goldy. I'm not explaining it well.
It's shimmery. It's iridescent. I begged Riverhead for that. I really wanted, you know, because my last four books all had people on them. Mm-hmm. In different ways. They don't all look identical, but they all had people on them. And I said to Riverhead, I was like, no people. I don't want any people. I am tired of people. And they came up with lots of great book jackets. And this is the one that I liked best. But what I love the most is that shimmer. Because I feel like that's in a funny way, it like that feels like the book to me. Like that feels like the book.
Totally. I love it. Okay. Well, that's amazing. By the way, somebody just interviewed me about something else and they said something like, who is your favorite character? And I was like, well, there's this woman, Alice. And, you know, like I have this on my desk right now. Let me tell you about Alice.
Yeah.
But she is a really amazing character and she does totally come to life in a bazillion different contexts and timelines and everything, which is like a great exercise in developing a character. Sort of, what would this character be like in all these different settings and having to relive it? So tell me about, I know this came about, your dad was sick. Tell me about the genesis for this book and not just the part one where you deal with her current day, but then as the book starts time traveling. Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, you are a mom. You remember 2020. It was terrible. 2020 was terrible. And that's when I started writing this book. I was home with my kids and my husband was at the bookstore working crazy hours. And my dad was in the hospital and none of us thought that he would be coming out of it. He did. I should say that up top. But yeah, I had been working on a different book. I'd been working on a book that is more similar to my previous books before the pandemic. And then, you know, from March to October of 2020, I didn't have any childcare and I was alone with my kids 24 hours a day, basically. And my dad was in the hospital and it was for months and it was just horrible. And so when I finally did have childcare again, I couldn't go back to the book that I'd been writing because it felt so foreign to me. It felt too silly. Like it was sort of, I mean, it wasn't like just a comedy, but it felt too silly to me at the time. And just really far away from where I was mentally and emotionally. And I was talking to my dad in the hospital and I was like, what should I do? And he was like, well, maybe you should write a book about a woman visiting her brother in the hospital. And I was like, okay. And I don't think he has any memory of that, but we did, you know, we would sit and talk when he was able to, we would sit and talk about books and writing and ourselves and our family and our lives. And that was what I wanted to write. And so I started thinking about a woman who was a lot like me, but not entirely like me, and a man who was very much like my dad, but not entirely like my dad. And I sort of plucked us like out of our lives and isolated us in this book. You know, like, I mean, my parents have been married for 55 years. And in the book, Leonard is a single father. And, you know, I have an older brother. And in the book, Alice is an only child. And I mean, so there, you know, there are these major differences. But yeah, I wanted to hang out with my dad. And what I really wanted was like the version of what we were doing in the hospital that I remembered from when I was a teenager, which was like us sitting at the kitchen table where my dad had like his spot and watching Jeopardy together and like eating snacks and just smoking cigarettes and whiling away the hours. And that's really what I did. I really wrote this book just to do that. And I'd never written time travel before, but I found that it came quite naturally because I think we've all grown up, especially those of us born in like, you know, the 80s, like we were fed a steady diet of time travel. Mm-hmm. And so it felt sort of just baked in. And so it was, so that's how I wrote my autobiographical time travel novel.
Well, I love how you went back to a particular point in time here in New York, which like I lived through as well. So all of the references were so familiar. So every time she went back,
you know, it started with the Crazy Eddie shirt. I was like, that is so perfect. That is so perfect. Like, let's bring back Crazy Eddie t-shirts. How fun would that be? That
I bought one on, I bought one on eBay. I'm going to wear it on my book tour.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so amazing. Oh my gosh. Of course they exist. I should have never I shouldn't have put that past you. But it is like the certain time that we all got to experience so collectively when there was so much less to do and less to watch. And like all those movies, like I watched everything you referenced. You
know? Yeah.
And Peggy's Who Got Married. I loved that movie. And I feel like nobody's been talking about it lately. And every time you brought it, I'm like, yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like, I mean, you know, first of all, yes. Like I think that the book, I mean, the book is full of pop culture in a way that none of my books have ever been before. Like I've always really tried, I don't know if this is like a, you know, a remnant of like MFA program life, but like, I've always felt like I want to keep, you know, culture out as much as possible. Because of course it's not the, it's never the point, right? It's never the point. Like if you're talking about a painting, that's a real painting, like you should be able to describe it in a way that it feels real, whether it's real or not. Or, and the same goes for a song or a movie or whatever. And I do love to make up cultural things, and I always have, but for this book, like, I just felt like I was throwing the doors open to everything. Like, I just wanted it to be real. I wanted to be like, I wanted it to feel like if you lived through this period, you would know these movies. Mm-hmm. And like, it's, this is actually what Alice would do. Like, if Alice were a real person, she would go back and that's what she would say to her friend. Like, she wouldn't be like, oh my God, I've never heard of time travel before. How does this work? Like, she would be like, wait, is this like Back to the Future? Like, are there two of me? Or is this like 13 going on? Like, what is this? How, which one am I in? Like, how does this work? And so it felt very freeing to sort of just like let all that stuff pour in. Because I think that the reason that people often don't want to include, you know, real cultural references is because it dates a work so precisely. But since I was already doing that in this book, it didn't matter to me.
You got a free pass. It's okay. You're not gonna get, you won't get in trouble. It's all good.
Yeah. And the New York stuff, like, and I feel like it's the same for the New York stuff that like, you know, for people who aren't from New York or who've never been to New York, it doesn't matter to them if Gray's Papaya is a real place.
Right.
Because I describe it and tell you what it tastes like and what you can order and whatever. So it doesn't matter if it's real or not, if you don't know that place. But if you do know that place, you're like, oh God, I need a hot dog for lunch.
Yeah. Totally. I love that. What I really love though is when you go back in time, when Alice goes back in time, she brings the attention to the fact that in all these movies, it's so often about the romance and so much less about the family. Although I guess in Back to the Future, there was a lot of family going on. But like that she wants to spend more time with her dad. And that is the driving force of this. Although even though you have the relationship. And then I love how you have, because it's almost like Sliding Doors meets one of these movies.
Yeah.
Then you see like all the other outcomes and like different kids. Like that is like, I love thinking about that stuff. Like, what if I had ended up with this person? What if, what if it had happened at a different time? Would the kids be different? You know, all that stuff.
Well, of course, because it would be, you know what I mean? Like it would be like, you know, I have the two children I have because those were the embryos that, you know what I mean? Like it's random. It's random who shows up in your life. And
you could argue that like those souls were destined for your family.
Maybe
they would look different.
I just think that like, it's all timing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all timing. Everything in life is timing in terms of the people you meet and the way you are when you find them and how you evolve. You know, it's all based on your relationships and your jobs and, you know, all of these things that are sort of random eventually add up to your life. Yeah. So it was really fun to think about Alice. And you're right. Like it was, I consciously wanted to make this not about the romance. You know, it's not like there is some romance in it.
Although, but, thank you for those scenes.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. At the bookstore, we often talk about like what people love, and like people love romance. People, and not, I don't just mean romance novels, but people love sexy books, whether they're, you know, paperback rom-coms or, you know, high literary masterpieces. People love a sexy book. And I'm like, well, yeah, I wrote a sad book about a dad dying. That's sexy, right? Like, you know, we all write the books that are the books that we need to write. And this is what I needed to write.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As kids get older, some things about parenting can get easier. I mean, not many, but some. But others don't, like having conversations about money. Point is, kids won't really know how to manage their money unless they're actually in charge of it, and that is where Greenlight can help. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on their kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids can learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely, thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun and accessible way. I got Greenlight debit cards for my kids. The greatest thing, you can actually add their photos that take up half the card. So when I handed the cards to the kids, they were like, this is so exciting. So they look great. Unfortunately, I only put the required 2 cents on at the beginning to make sure they worked. So the kids were like, well, what should I spend my 2 cents on? Anyway, millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It's the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/Zibby. That's greenlight.com/Zibby to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Zibby.
Well, I love how it kind of comes together. I feel like one of the themes at the end that you tell through Kenji is that it's so important to just address when someone is sick or when someone has died. And yeah, it seems so obvious, but it is so helpful to connect on that level and not avoid it. And I feel like if people take one thing away for people who'd always feel uncomfortable not knowing what to say to people who have lost somebody or whatever, like, that is a great takeaway. Like, it's okay. You just say, like, hey, how are you doing? That must have been terrible. Like, oh my gosh, lymphoma is awful or whatever.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, it's something that I have thought about a lot. Like, you know, I have so many friends who have lost their parents in the last couple of years. and, you know, when I was a kid and when I was in high school. And I think I never knew what to say. And part of this book is, even though my father is still alive, is me sort of reckoning with that, with like the fact that like, you don't really understand until you find yourself in the middle of it. And then you're like, oh fuck, I was so awkward. Like I was so afraid of saying the wrong thing that I sort of didn't say anything. And, you know, you wish you could go back and just be like, do you want to have some pizza? Like, you know, not just like, cause I've always been a very good note writer, you know, like, so I always write a note, but what does that do? You know, that doesn't do that much. Like, is it better to write a note than do nothing? Yes. But like, it's probably also better. I mean, it's like when someone has a baby, you know, like, sure, it's great to say congratulations. But then most people say, congratulations, can I do something? To which the new parent always says, oh, no, 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 no. When like, and now I understand, you don't do that. You just show up and you drop the food off or the whatever on the doorstep. Yep. You wash the dishes in the sink. You hold the baby so someone can take a shower. And then you get out of there. You know, like it's,
yes.
But I think that we all, this is growing up, right? Like that's, we all true, have to learn those things firsthand before we understand what is good to do.
And those are the things you remember the most. Like, I feel like they're always like this flurry of cards and calls or texts or whatever. But it's like, I don't know, when my husband's mom passed away, this one friend of his sent us like a banquet dinner from like the local pizza place.
Yeah.
And I'll just never forget like the tins and,
yeah, you
know, like undoing those like tinfoil, yeah, edges and being like, that was so nice. Like, I've never, yeah, been so appreciative for pasta.
Yeah.
Vodka sauce, which I don't even normally eat. Do you know what I mean? Like that was the nicest. I don't know. So yes.
Yeah.
But it's a good lesson that I guess, yeah, we learn as we are,
yeah,
grownups.
Yeah.
But I feel like so many lessons Alice learned came from being a grown-up, right? Like even when she goes back, it's like some of those things, some of those types of people you are, they aren't clear until later what's, yeah, really important and all of that. But hopefully books like these can, you know, try to teach it, you know, like try to share it, show, don't tell, you know.
Yeah. We'll see.
Did you feel a sense of closure once you finished this book? Like, do you feel like it helped you process some of the stuff?
Yeah. I mean, you know, what my therapist describes as pre-grieving, which I didn't know that that was something, but, you know, I think that, you know, there are obviously people who lose loved ones very suddenly, where you're plunged into the, you know, after zone totally unexpectedly. But I think often it's not that, you know, often we see it coming and we see the cliff and we know how deep it is on the other side. And we spend years preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, I don't know if anyone can ever be prepared. Probably not. But I definitely think that I've spent a lot of time. I mean, more than just the years, you know, that I've been working on this book, processing this idea. And I mean, I can't say that I feel closure, but I definitely feel really happy. I feel really happy that I was able to write this book and that for me, I mean, and you know, that I wrote it really, truly just for me. But then the fact that my dad is still alive and could read it is an amazing additional gift that I don't take for granted for a second. And then like, you know, when I think of the thing that like really gets me always is that like, you know, my dad has written like 20 books and they're all very scary, but he is in all of them. He is in all of them in ways small and large. He is not a serial killer, mind you. A lot of his books have serial killers in them.
Good to know.
Torturer of any kind, but he is all over his books. And I'm grateful that I have those books that are full of his brain and his thoughts and his jokes, you know? And then I think about my kids having my books that are full of me in all of those ways. And then additionally, that they have this book now, which contains us both in a certain way. I mean, not that Alice and I are identical and not that Leonard and my father are identical, but this is without a doubt a book that is just like an examination of our love. And that's pretty amazing. You know, hopefully my children will appreciate it. I think they will someday, hopefully.
That's amazing. Well, now hopefully, you know, they'll write something about you.
Yeah. Oh God, maybe. I don't know if I want
that. I know. I'm like, would I want that or would I not want that? Yeah. So will you ever go back to that other one that you abandoned?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it was like, it was a good one. I was excited about it. I had done some like research for it. Like it wasn't, you know, like this book, This Time Tomorrow, all I had to do was just like close my eyes and like text my friends from childhood to do research, you know?
Yeah.
But the book that I had been working on, I had traveled, like I had really put in some legwork. So I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see. I have to go back and see if there's any life in it.
Did you have a real life Tommy type character?
Oh, hundreds of them.
Hundreds? Oh my gosh.
Well, maybe not hundreds, but I have all my diaries. And I was always in love with somebody. Or like six somebodies. I mean, I was really able to compartmentalize my affections. And so I had just crushes on everybody. Everybody. Yeah. There are a lot of them.
I have my diaries too, and I haven't figured out what I should do with them all. But I like how you channeled it into that. Very creative. I'm like, why? Hey, I'll just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I took this trip with my family when I was in eighth grade to China and Japan, but I wrote it as if I was like, I don't know. I didn't sound like I was that old. But anyway, I read it to my kids, my little kids. And I was like, this is what I was like. And of course, my diary is like, here's what I had to eat on the airplane. You know? Yeah. But it's another way of time travel. Because like I was introducing my almost 9-year-old to like my 14-year-old self. And I'm like, this is the way I spoke at that time. And
It's amazing.
I feel like that's another layer of what this book does so well. So it's very cool. Awesome.
So what did you eat on that airplane?
Oh, like all the stuff I still eat. They were like, this is ridiculous. You know, it's like, I don't know, like, you know, grilled chicken and a Caesar salad or, I don't, you know, it's like ridiculous. You know, I haven't changed at all. And I'm like, you know, I shouldn't have eaten that cookie. And they're like, ha, you know. Yeah. So maybe it wasn't such a big introduction after all. Anyway, last question. Any advice to aspiring authors?
I guess at the moment, my advice would be to write the thing that you feel most moved by, you know, that you feel most emotionally connected to, and that you know you can write better than anyone else, like whatever it is, whether it's fiction or a short story or your memoir, you know, whatever it is, like to believe in yourself and to know that you are fully capable. Yeah. And just to have faith and do it, just to try.
Love it. Well, thank you not only for taking me back to, you know, 1980s New York City, but also just this Alice's life and walking through Belvedere and, you know, just the whole thing. It was such a strong sense of place. And I really feel like I ventured through someone else's shoes, which is what the best books do. So there you go. Yeah.
Anyway. Thank you so much, Zippy. Right. Always a pleasure.
You too. Hope your day goes better.
Thanks. Here's hoping.
Okay. Bye, Emma.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @withzibbyandtracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.